Volci de tale lui ai roți. Ai voglio llegar qua ci des. River wide. God is good. God is good. Hallelujah. We have a YouTube that's gonna come on. A story of the Marshall Islands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes, Lord.
In 1857, just 5 years after the arrival of the first missionaries in the Carolines, preparations were being made to expand the mission to the east. Reverend Pearson and his wife, along with Reverend and Mrs. Doane, were on their way to the Marshalls to begin work there. The Marshalls were virgin territory as far as the missionaries were concerned. They were still free from the influence of foreign ship crews and beachcombers that was to be found on other islands. But that was because of the notorious reputation for inhospitality that the islands had acquired, thanks to repeated attacks on ships there. Reverend Edward Doane reported,
"In 1834, Captain Dowsett mysteriously disappeared at Rongelap. In 1845, Captain Cheney of the Naiad had trouble with the dwellers upon Ebon, and one man was killed on the spot. In October 1852, the schooner Glencoe of San Francisco was burnt and the crew murdered by the inhabitants of Ebon. The reason for this conduct is that, when the king was a young man, a ship visited Ebon, and an islander stole something which gave occasion for a disturbance. A general attack was made on the islanders, and many were killed, among them the chief Kaibuki's oldest brother. Kaibuki received a wound in the arm from a spade. His father declared he would have revenge, and that he would kill all the whites he could and cut off ships when possible.
When the missionaries were landed on Ebon, they found themselves under the protection of none other than Kaibuki, the same chief who had waged a vendetta against Westerners for years. Kaibuki, once a formidable foe of Westerners, exchanged names with Reverend Pearson and told him that henceforth he would consider the missionary his son. The chief scrupulously kept his word, protecting the missionaries from harm and safeguarding their property. The growth of the church in the Marshalls was rapid. Hawaiian missionaries replaced the American pastors within a short time, and they soon carried the gospel to the other islands in the archipelago, first Namarik and Jaluit, and then to Majuro and Mili. Mission progress in the Marshalls was linked to the success of its schools. To meet the growing demand for education, the mission school on Ebon doubled in enrollment within 3 months, and two new schools soon had to be opened in the atoll. Reverend Edward Doan reported,
"At all hours, through the day and into the evening, our house is thronged with scholars writing on their slates or reading. Many youth drop by in the evening and stay as long as we allow, reading and writing. Our little printing office, too, is the scene of similar interest. There are many faithful typesetters there, and the sheets printed are read over before the ink is fully dry upon them."
Thanks to the missionaries, the school had now become part of Micronesian life. With the opening of the first training school on Ebon in 1869, a steady stream of Marshallese pastors and teachers were produced. By 1872, the last of the Hawaiian missionaries had left the islands, and Marshallese staffed their own churches. Within 15 years of its founding, the church in the Marshalls was fully under the control of local people. Training schools, the rough equivalent of today's high schools, were producing a crop of local church leaders.
Amen. You can see God's plan for us. In 1857, the missionary came to the Marshall Islands. Or just like the story of Moses, when the people of Israel really call unto God and God raised up Moses to send him out of Egypt. And when the missionary came in 1857, the World War II came in 1940-something. And I know that after that time, our grandma and grandpa already knew God. And so they call unto God for rescue. And guess who God sent to Marshall Islands? United States, to rescue us from the Japanese. In God we trust. Amen?
Amen.
We have a skit. So keep, please, patient with me.
Thank you.
How many of us believe there is hell and there is heaven? The question is, are you ready? This morning, are we ready? Is our nation ready? Is this country ready? Are you ready? Excuse me. The kids can go. I'm sorry if this was too much for the kids. I think they should know the truth. Yeah, when they grow up with the truth, God is the truth. The only way to heaven. Jesus said, I'm the only way, the truth, and the life. Amen? Hallelujah. Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay, that's good. God is full of mercy, right? There was a lot of time I wasn't ready before when I was in my bad days. And God had mercy on me. He gave me so many chances to live. Because he knew. You know, the Bible say that hell was prepared for the devil and his angel, right? But that's good if we are ready. 1 Thessalonians 5:2. For you know that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. How many of us know this?
Yes.
It's like last night I was preparing my sermon. And I remember I was asking the Lord, talking with the Holy Spirit, Lord, give me something to preach, you know. You got to talk with the Holy Spirit to lead you. But first of all, I'm going to pray. So let's join me. Ani lalo chamela na param kamo lele groj mo kota jena wan mala kotum kalo kalo kina chipongin rai ni roi ngai rewa jangan kwe chetop kwa jar jarbo kon telelo chipongin lo tam Jesus Christ ngai charum pa komon. Amen. So as I was thinking and talking to God, it made me look at my husband because one night, you know, thinking of the last days, the last day that he's gonna come. So one night, my husband was sleeping and we had a drawer, a closet. You know, it was not that strong enough. Those stuff from Walmart that you bring and then you hang up your clothes. So, you know, it was loose on the leg and it's next to our bed. And my husband was really sleepy. He was gone. And I went and threw something, and something went wrong, and it fell down on the bed. And he was like, whoa! He was gonna run, but then that thing was on him. And I look at him, and I went outside, and I was laughing so hard. I didn't want him to get mad at me, but you know what? That day is gonna come. So, are you gonna run like this or run like that? God is good, amen? So, this morning at 4 o'clock, because Saturday night I don't like to sleep. It's like something's really heavy on my shoulder, and I really wanna make sure everything is finished. So my son, our son, Kalo, he come and he sleep in the room. And I didn't expect him, he was there. I didn't know he was below our bed. And he was wearing a pajama, you know, and on the feet of his pajama over here, there was mouse. And then as I was writing, I could see something moving and I said, okay, what was that? I know there is no mouse in my house. And then I flip the light a little bit more that way to see what's going on. Why is the glow moving? And then I saw the picture of the pajama, the mouse, and I said, what is that? Sometimes we have fear, right? The last day is more than what you imagine. Is that true? Yes. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
So when he moved, when I looked, I said, oh no. Oh, I feel relieved. That was my baby. My baby Kelo was there. So this is what happened in life, you know? Like, have you ever had any husband or any wife? Have you ever a spouse? Have you ever had your husband call you and say, hey, can you prepare us a dinner? And then the time come when he come home and you are on the TV, watching TV, or you're on the phone talking with somebody. And husband is coming home. He's very tired and he's gonna hit something. It happened to me sometimes. But you know, I have a lot of excuse. I always talk with people and talk to God and it's good stuff. Make sure you don't do the bad stuff. And husband coming and you're not doing, the table is not ready and the food is not there. How do you feel? Man, how do you feel? You laugh? That's good. No, I didn't think so. How do you feel, lady? You're like, oops, he is home. And then you're running around and you don't know what to do. And later on, you're like, honey, I'm sorry. I'm very sorry. I won't do that again. I'm just trying to make you laugh this morning. But yeah, that's true. Or we have our somebody special in your life. It's going to go somewhere for a long time. And they come back and you feel really good, right? So when the day come and Jesus come, wow, you're going to feel really good. My kids go off to school in the morning. We hold each other's hand. We pray. And then they go to school. And when they come back home from school, I'm happy. There is a good feeling in there, right? And my husband too. I remember when I used to be pregnant with my baby. And I want to be next to him all the time. And I would look at the clock every day. Oh, he's almost home. It's not me, it's the baby. And me too sometimes. And then I go and sit outside the house. And see the car pulling in the driveway. And I'm so, ooh, there is a good feeling there. It's just like our loved one, Jesus Christ, when he come here. You're going to be so happy, full of joy. Amen? Where am I? You know, we're not going to blame Holy Spirit, right? Because I'm going to write some note, and then Holy Spirit going to lead me this way. Lead me this way, and I'm going to miss what I wrote. Wow. So, that's how God deal with us, right? On Thursday, October 4, this past week, I pray in the morning and God show up in my room. And we were going to practice, you know, how many times I pray for all the guys to speak English? Huh? For the song? I'm like, Lord, yes, you're going to do this. And you know what is so funny? I'm just going to make you laugh till we go out. Because as we were singing, some guys were like, came in the heaven. I'm like, what? Came? There's no came. Kate. Somebody say, blanket. You know, us Marshallese people, we don't have any half. Yeah, so everything is B. So they're like, flood. They, blood, gate of heaven. But they're awesome people, you know. God can use them in any ways. And you know what? When Thursday morning when I went to my car, my phone, click, click, I look at the text. A pastor from Arkansas called, text me, can you pray for a guy? He's in the hospital. So I sit in my car, pray, simple prayer. We go practice. And he called 3 times. This pastor is my uncle. So he called 3 times. And I said, wow, there must be something really big deal. So I went and I wait till they finish their song. And then I tell them, there is a request from Arkansas. We pray with this guy. He's in ICU. We're going to talk about the goodness of the Lord. And we all pray, and I said, let's worship. You know, we worship and we prayed, and 2 of the girls, they say that, call Arkansas and tell them that he's okay. Because they saw the Lord standing by the bed and holding the guy's head. And one of the girls say that it is like Lord's hand scanning the body, like you go to Walmart and you scan the food. Jesus' hand was like this. And they said, he's okay. That evening, they said, the guy is good. Jesus healed him. Say, hallelujah, Lord. Praise God. Wow. August 6th, last month, or a few months ago, a guy from Arkansas. In the morning, I like to talk with God in the morning, like 4 o'clock after my husband leaves, because we always pray in the morning before he goes to work. 4:30, we pray. 5 o'clock, he goes to work. So I sit up, and this guy from Oklahoma, Enid, Oklahoma, he was texting me. I never talked with him for a long time. He was a kid when I came from the Marshall Islands. I graduated from high school, and I came to Majuro, go to Hawaii, come here. And back and forth in my life, I never see that boy. He was a little boy. But he was talking to me and say, hey, you know what? I had this dream. I had this vision of you. I saw your face. Just your face, but you were praying over me. And I said, what? That's kind of funny. But I said, well, I'm going to call you later day today if I'm not busy. And so he said, I will be waiting. When I called him, he said that he had a stroke. They stopped him from work because he couldn't work. And he said that I have to go see a doctor. And when I'm okay, I'm going to go back to work. And I said, well, let's pray. I said, do you believe Jesus is going to heal you? He said, yes. I said, did you ever get saved? No. That's how merciful is our Lord. Jesus healed this guy, and then he got saved after Jesus healed him. You know why? Because God knows already. He knows our desire, right? So he knew that that guy was going to call on to him. And so he did what he wanted. You know, you go to the store, and some of your kids say, mommy or grandma. I don't know about grandma. I'm not a grandma yet, but something. Mommy, grandma, grandpa, daddy, you know. I want that. And then later on, you go to the store, and then you see that shoes, or you see that dress your daughter wanted. You're like, ooh, that's the one she wanted. I didn't have money at that time, but I have money now to buy it. So I'm going to buy it. That's how we are to our kids. We really love them so much. we get what they want. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And our God, he sees our desire, and he sees what you want. He knows what you want from far, even before you say it. So no need to be ashamed and tell God what you want. Because he's already know. He just wants you to speak. And you say, yeah. Be like the kids. They come and they say, Mommy, can you put on my clothes? Or Mommy, can you make me cereal? Or put on my shirt. You don't put on their shirt. What happened to their shirt? They put it upside down or inside out or something. That's like us. We like to do our things by ourselves and not give it to the Lord. And that's why you go the wrong way. And you're like, oops. So who to blame here? And then we're like, now I don't have any more money, like the girl in the skit. Yeah, she was so proud of her money and the car and everything, and then she strayed from God. And so this guy, Jesus healed him. The next day I called and follow up on him. And he said, I don't have that stroke anymore. He didn't see a doctor. Do you know that Jesus is a great doctor? Yes. He's gone back to work and he got saved and he's okay. And I'm still praying for him because, you know, after people get saved, the devil like to come and, you know, whisper to your ear and tell you what to do, what not. And also, Wistak is, are you here, Wistak? Judak, stand up. Wistak is from Oklahoma. He's going to tell his testimony someday, but we don't have time. And he's here because the doctor said that he had stomachache. Very bad stomachache. And the doctor said that, you know, the intestine in his stomach was like rolled up all the way up. And nothing could go out, causing his stomach to have a lot of pain. And he was going to have surgery. And one morning, he called me and he said, hey, can you pray for me? So I pray, simple prayer. I pray. And then I say, do you have any Bible? Just go to the Bible and look for answer because God is going to speak to you. That's why he's here, because he didn't have any surgery. Jesus healed him. He came last year. But he said that he saw the, you know what you call the picture? He saw it and then he saw what happened to him. How scary it was. And then the doctor came. And then he was like, what? What happened here? Everything went back to normal. That's what happened to our God. And I'm believing and I'm praying that that's what's going to happen to me too. Because even though all the disease and all the sickness are from hell, they're not from God. And please don't ever blame God for it. Because we like to say, yeah, well, I didn't go to church Sunday, and I think maybe God did that to me. Some people think like that. They're sick. Do you believe it? Don't do it. God is love. Yes. Amen. My daughter, Azusa, I cannot say, Azusa, raise your hand, because she's only 1 month. I went to Azusa Revival. How many of you hear about Azusa Revival? Yeah, it was good. And I said, wow, if I have a daughter, I'm going to name her that name. I like it. This morning, as I was studying, she was really, she couldn't breathe because she got blocked up nose. And I said, oh man, you're going to attack my daughter and keep me up from going and speak in front? Get out from my baby, in Jesus' name. You know, because it's God's power everywhere. If you use Jesus' name, gonna cast out the demon. So Matthew 25:41. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angel, right? It is a terrible, really terrible place. It's not good. You know why? Everybody know why, right? Because God removed his goodness from hell. So all the good things we enjoy come from our Lord. Come from God. James 1:17, it says, every good and perfect gift come from above. Amen. What time is it? In my church, no, it's not my church. God's church over there. In that church, I can preach and I don't look at the clock. Okay. I have 13 minutes. It says, every good and perfect gift come from above. Coming down from Father, Heavenly Father, right? Yes. Of light. So all the good things we enjoy, like I say, they're all from God. And hell is dark because, say why, because, why you say that? Because John 1:5 says God is life. Right? Amen? There is only death in hell because John 1:4 says God is life. It was, so there is hate in hell because 1 John 4:16 says God is love. Did you get what I say? Did I make a mistake? Okay. Praise the Lord. I hope so because I've been praying and I said, Lord, don't make me look funny in front of everybody. Yes, it's not my language. So that's why I pray all the time for God to lead me and not my flesh. There is no mercy in hell because Psalm 36:5 says, the mercy of the Lord is in heaven. Amen. Amen. And there is no strength in hell because Psalm 18:32 say, it is the Lord that give you strength, right? And there is no peace in hell because Isaiah 9:6 says, he is the Prince of Peace. Amen. Hallelujah. So don't say, I don't have anything to do with God. Because you know why? There is a place, terrible place, that have nothing to do with God too. Amen? And it has nothing to do with you unless you don't make a choice. And you have to make a choice today before it is too late. So are you ready? Yes. If you're not ready, why aren't you ready? I preached last week and I tell all these folks here, I said, in this life here in America, right? Because we're from the Marshall Islands, we don't have life insurance, Medicaid insurance, car insurance, all those kind of insurance. And I said, do you believe there is a good insurance, Jesus Christ? Yes. Right? Yes. So what's important if you have all this insurance and you don't have Christ? Hey, you're going to have $10,000 million, but tomorrow maybe they're going to be gone. Or maybe how do you know you're going to live forever? And you're paying that money. I'm not saying don't do that. I'm not saying don't pay for your insurance. It's good. But I'm just trying to introduce Jesus Christ. He is good in everything. A doctor, see? You know, I didn't finish my school. And God made me a doctor for some people. I don't have any degree. He heals, so we give him all the glory because I don't have any power. And God is really awesome. So if you believe all the testimonies this morning, we're going to... we're going to ask you to come forward if you need healing in your body, if you need miracle in your body. Remember, I was a girl of trouble, a lot of problem, drink every day. I was really bad. I never care about anybody in my life. I disrespect my mom. I disrespect all my family members. But when I call on to God that time, and He changed my life, it was good, and it is still good now. He changed my life. And if He did that to me, He will do that to you too. So I told someone my testimony about that time. I said, Lord, you know, as I learn about the Bible, I need to get married. Where I come from, men and women can stay longer, enough, 15, 30 years without marriage, and they still consider marriage. And, you know, it's different than here. And if you see me in the restaurant or somewhere, my husband don't open the door for me, don't say, oh, he's an idiot. He doesn't open the door for her. We have different culture, right? So I prayed to God. I said, Lord, I know it is right to get married. And I fasting. And then I prayed. And the Lord, I didn't know, I was just here. I just moved in here and come to church. And the Lord did miracle on my wedding. When I went to get my wedding dress, it was $599. But it went down to zero. My husband told me, no, you probably listened to it wrong. You didn't understand what they said. I said, no. I did. That's what the lady says. She said, we don't have to pay for it. No. So I had to call again. And then when I called, she said, yeah, it's free. That's what God can do to the world. It can make the world, really? Like the doctor, you go see the doctor and they say, you're this and you're that. And they look at your picture, they're like, oh, seriously, is that true? And then later on I go, because I want to ride on a limousine, you know. I said, wow, it'd be so nice to ride on a limousine, you know. You know, we don't have that in the Marshall Islands. I always see it in the TV. I don't know what does it look like. God saw my desire. He knew what I wanted. And that time He sent me over there to the store. And I went there and the owner was telling me, hey, are you looking for a limousine? And I'm like, oh, yeah. And I was walking like, limousine, wow. That's what I wanted. But I said, you know what? My husband is at work. And, you know, they said it is really expensive, $299 one hour. He said, no, I'll cut the price, $199 one hour. I'm like, that's good, but he still had work. So we exchanged number. I gave him my number. He gave me his number. I went home. On my way home, he called me. He said, hey, I'm going to drop the price to $60. I'm like, that's good. And so that night, that day, I went to my house and I was like, wow, really worried for my husband to come home. Look at the clock. And he came and I told him, and he thought I was crazy. He said, there is no limousine that costs $60. You're kidding me. I'm like, no, that is true. Praise the Lord. You know, God opened the sea water for the people to go. Of course, He's going to open good door for me. Hallelujah. Yeah. And so we went the next day. And I kind of like go next to the dress and I'm going to look. What is his reaction, you know? So you go and talk and I'm like, You talk with the owner and then the man told him. He said, hey, my wife said that there is a limousine for $60. And the guy say, well, I'm going to give it to you for $50. And I'm like, yes, Lord. Yeah. Hey, we ride on to everything, all the good things in this world. How come we don't give a big ride on to God? So I was like, yes, Lord. And I laughed at the devil, you know. And so that day on our wedding, he came, the limousine came, and then when my husband was going to pay $50, it was $0. Amen. So if you believe in these testimonies, God did for me, he will do for you. Sometime in this life, the devil like to talk to you and say, you're nothing. He did say to me all these years, you're nothing. Nobody care about you. Nobody love you. Nobody want you. That's not what God say about you. He want to help you. He want you to move on. He want to take you. He want to call you. Stop ignoring the phone call. I told some people last time I preached, I said, you know, we like to grab the phone call from this life. Only one ring and we're like, hello? We should do that to Lord. We should do that to God. That's how we, you know. So let's stand up, and if you want to come forward for us to pray with you, please, prayer team. We have only some minutes left. Sometimes we're at the church over there for 1 o'clock, 1:30, and nobody's ever complained. And they always say, why did you end the time? Because we're having fun with the Lord. We all should do that. You know, if the Holy Spirit come to this place, man, this world can turn upside down. Amen. So please come forward if you. Is anybody never get saved in here? And the prayer team, can we pray with the people? Anybody?